The next case of the day is number 053670, Holmstrom against Herod. Mr. Blair.
Good morning, and may it please the court. I am Mitchell Blair, counsel for defendant Gary J. Peterson in this action. Your Honors, the issue to be resolved in this appeal is whether the court below can frustrate the appellant's statutory right to have his action heard in a federal forum by reading an exception into the forum defendant rule of 28 U.S.C. 1441B, not found in that rule's plain language. That rule is clear and unambiguous. Mr. Peterson, who is a resident of Ohio.
Mr. Blair, if I may interrupt for a minute, I think at some point you're master of your own time, but could you address the whether we have appellate jurisdiction as well?
Yes, Your Honor, that's first on my list.
Good.
Your Honor, on the jurisdiction issue, there is clearly jurisdiction here for the court. As this court recognized in the Benson versus SI handling case, cases brought under this provision, 1441B, are removable to this court, and the possibility of re-removal does not destroy finality, nor does Section 1447D, as Pelley states, bar review. As the Supreme Court has held, and this court has followed in the Benson case, that section only prohibits review of remand orders that are based on either lack of subject matter jurisdiction, and there's no question here that, and it's conceded that there is subject matter jurisdiction. In fact, the court expressly found in his opinion that there is diversity jurisdiction here, or a procedural defect in removal. Now, that issue relates to 28 U.S.C. 1446. That defines removal procedures. For example, the removal was not taken within 30 days, the amount of controversy wasn't sufficient, etc. Nothing in the court's order below defines anything or suggests that Mr. Peterson failed to comply with any of the removal procedures. There is, as this court knows, no procedural requirement that any party must be served prior to removal. So there is no question under Benson, under Quackenbush, by the Supreme Court, that this is appealable as a final decision under 28 U.S.C. 1291. And likewise, we don't think there's any serious issue that 1447D bars review here. What happened below, Your Honors, is that the court recognized the language of the statute. And in fact, in his opinion, he noted that there was tension between his ruling and the literal language of 1441B. But nonetheless, he stated that the policy of the rule justified his remand. Therefore, what the court did, in effect, was to create a non-statutory exception to the right of a defendant to remove an action within the court's diversity jurisdiction or before service on a forum defendant. Now, we think this clearly was an error and should be reversed under the authority of Benson, wherein this court said an extra statutory judicial requirement is improper when dealing with a removal statute, and that the federal courts can't deprive a litigant of its clear right to removal where Congress has expressly provided that right.
Can I ask you just this question? Have the Illinois defendants ever been served?
No, Your Honor. In the 10 months that this case has been pending, no defendant, to my knowledge, has yet been served. Now, the 1441B is very express. It says, and the language of the rule is very clear, it says a diversity case, quote, shall be removable only if none of the parties in interest properly joined and served, those words are in there, as defendants, is a citizen of the state in which such action is brought. And what the court below has done is read the words and served out of the statute and stated that although it says that, the court did not believe that the statute ought to be applied as written. In our briefs, we've stated many, many cases that the that have found contrary to this, and I refer the court to page 9 of our brief, the test drilling case in the Central District of Illinois, the Jackson case in the Southern District of Indiana, the Maple Leaf case in the Northern District of Illinois, all of which said and served means and served. Likewise, the Sixth Circuit in the McCall versus Scott case said the same thing, that there's no bar to removal if there is jurisdiction and no one has been served, no forum defendant has been served. So what the court below has done is to create an exception that is not found in the statute and is not supported by other case law. Now, there's no question that in this circuit the defendant has the right to remove prior to service of process. That was decided in the Boyd versus Phoenix case in 2004. There's likewise no question that, according to the Supreme Court, the district courts are not authorized to remand on discretionary grounds not authorized by statute. I cite the Thermtron Products case for that proposition. Finally, there's no issue that a district court's diversity jurisdiction is discretionary. It is not. And that's under the case of Carnegie Mellon, a Supreme Court case decided in 1988. This court has followed those rules in the In Re Continental Casualty case, where this court stated that the district court can't remand sua sponte for non-jurisdictional reasons. And more recently, in U.S. versus Farr, in the non-removal context, Chief Judge Flom stated that courts may not overlook a statute's plain language to further what may be a broader statutory purpose. In Environmental Defense Fund versus City of Chicago, you, Judge Bauer, wrote the opinion, and you, Judge Ripple, were on the panel.
Actually, we're writing for the court, you know.
I understand that, Your Honor. You stated that, quote, only Congress may change the law in response to policy arguments. Courts may not do so. And in that case, which was construing an environmental statute, the opinion went on to state that public policy arguments can't override the mandate of the statute. And Judge Ripple, in your dissent, you agreed with that principle. So what we have is a pretty clear line of cases that state that the statute says what it says. And even if we don't like its effects, that's a matter for the legislature and not for the courts to decide. Now, I further cite the court to a case not in our briefs, titled In Re Sinclair, which was decided in 1989. In that case, the Seventh Circuit, this court, applied words of the statute even when it was contrary to the legislative intent, which, of course, is not the case here. Finally, the plaintiff's argument centers around the recognition communications case, and that was the case relied upon by the judge below. That case, we submit, was wrongly decided and completely illogical. In fact, in that case, in which the issue was whether an unserved forum defendant was required to join in a petition for removal, the court found in the Northern District of Texas, I believe it was, that all defendants should have joined in the notice because none of them had been served. There was no authority for that ruling. But we believe it conflicts with Seventh Circuit law in that in the Seventh Circuit, as I stated in the Boyd case, there's no issue that a defendant can remove without awaiting service of process. And finally, that only those defendants who have been served or appeared voluntarily prior to removal need join in the notice. We think it's contrary to both of those. So in conclusion, Mr. Peterson here respectfully requests that this court reverse the judgment of the district court and reinstate this action on the district court's docket. I reserve 1 minute for rebuttal. Thank you, unless there are further questions.
I think so. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
We'll hear now from Mr. Yamida.
May it please the court. We're here today because of a few words that were written in the lower court opinion. In referring to the recognition communications case, the district court stated that the court crafted a limited exception to Section 1441B. Defendants have latched on to that phrase from that order to A, argue that this court has jurisdiction, which it does not, to B, argue that the district court's order should be reversed if it's even considered, and lastly, to argue the plaintiff's choice of forum should be ignored. The important aspect of this case, unlike all of the cases cited to by defendants, is that in this case, no defendants were served prior to the removal. Not only were no defendants served, defendant Peterson prior to removing didn't appear either. We can't forget that part of the lower court's opinion, which is that a non-form defendant must be served or appear. As far as the jurisdiction of this court, under Section 1291, defendants rely heavily upon the Quackenbush case. Defendant Peterson relies heavily upon the Quackenbush case. And Quackenbush has some language in there which is relevant. Unfortunately, Quackenbush is a case considering an abstention stay analysis. Moreover, in Quackenbush, although it doesn't explicitly say, it seems to be implied that defendants in that case had been served, unlike the situation here. Also, the analysis concerning whether or not this is a final decision appears to be addressed in the district court's opinion, which says that removal is defeated at this stage. Moreover...
Yeah, but what about Benson, which talks of, you know, which talks about a remand order that falls outside of the authority of 1447C and is subject to appellate review?
Benson is
and I don't necessarily agree with your analysis of Quackenbush, but why don't you speak to that case?
The other issue which needs to be addressed is the question of whether or not it's effectively out of the court. And I think Benson, looking at Quackenbush, looking at Moses Cohen, discusses that issue. And when it's effectively out of court, the question that raised in my mind was whether anybody was ever in court. Nobody was served. Nobody appeared. The district court determined that they never had jurisdiction, so if nobody's ever in court, then they're probably not ever effectively out of court. But the other argument is the 1447.
So that's your response to that line of cases?
Yes. The other issue concerning the jurisdiction is the 1447D. And I think when you look at the Benson case and when you look at the Quackenbush case, it's a tougher argument for plaintiff on those line of 1291 cases than it is on the 1447D and C cases. And the reason is because the district court below said that we agree with the result reached in recognition communications. In recognition communications, as defendants noted, the case was never, the defendants were never served. Because the defendants were never served, the court found that all defendants needed to join in the removal. Because those defendants did not join in the removal, the court by necessity found that there was a procedural defect. It's this procedural defect which the court below relied upon as well. And because the remand order was based on a procedural defect, the court here has no jurisdiction to consider it. In fact, there's case law out there, including the Shell Oil case and the Hurley case, which state that the 1441B violation is indeed a defect in removal procedures we set forth in our brief.
So why don't we hear from you on Thermatron and how you try to get out of the language in that case, which says that, district judges can't extend carte blanche authority to the district courts, that Congress never intended it, such that district courts could remand on grounds that might seem appropriate to them but were not recognized in the statute. I mean, isn't this type of remand that we're seeing here precisely the sort of discretionary remand the Supreme Court criticized?
I don't think so. And the reason is because what the court did is look at the policy behind 1441B. And it needed to in order to interpret 1441B. The more important thing is that the district court found that 1441B did not apply.
Well, isn't the language joined and served? You talk about, you started your argument saying a few little words. Aren't they critical, joined and served? Isn't that requirement critical to the removal statute? Because it makes sure that plaintiffs aren't able to block removal simply by naming straw men, so to speak.
Indeed, and that is the purpose behind the language of the joined and served. However, because none of the defendants in this action were served, then that policy consideration to prevent prejudice to out-of-state defendants never even came into play here, and that's what the lower court recognized. Therefore, the joined and served language, although in there, Under the Murphy Brothers case, that language also means that they need to actually be served.
But there were no properly joined and served Illinois defendants.
There were not. There were no properly joined and served foreign defendants either, and there was no defendant, including defendant Peterson, who was either served or properly appeared. Instead, an out-of-state defendant ran into court and tried to remove the case. The lower court recognized that that was improper and remanded it. The reason that the 1441B does not apply here is because exactly what I said. The policy reasons behind 1441B are to prevent a plaintiff from joining an in-state defendant and never serving him. But that's not a concern here. It was 9 days had expired. And the problem that's going to happen if this court reverses the order is that from now on, what you're going to have is a race to the courthouse. And this race to the courthouse is going to be problematic. The race to the courthouse is going to entail defendants who, A, determine quickly whether or not there's diversity jurisdiction. That's not that difficult in this day and age. And B, as soon as they determine whether or not there's diversity jurisdiction, all they're going to have to do is run into court, file an appearance, and file a notice of removal. And the reason that that's going to be a problem is because, as we stated in our briefs with the lower court, the service process in the state of Illinois is one that takes a while. It takes about 2 or 3 weeks to get the sheriff on board, to get the sheriff to go out. Defendants had said that there's other mechanisms by which you can go out and serve, but that's still going to take time as well. So what you're going to have is the ability of any out-of-state defendant to, like I said, A, simply determine whether or not the diversity exists, and then B, once they determine that it does, run in, file an appearance, and escape up to federal court. The biggest problem with that is that, A, it gets rid of plaintiff's choice of forum, and lastly, it's going to cause numerous cases to come to the federal courts that don't belong here. They belong under diversity, but they should be heard in plaintiff's choice of forum. For those reasons, unless there's further questions, we would request that the court dismiss this case for lack of jurisdiction or to affirm the lower court order. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Your Honor's plaintiff's argument ignores that in this circuit you can remove without being served. Which clearly you can do. To the extent that that causes a race to the courthouse, of course, in this context, that did not happen. In fact, this case was removed weeks after the case was filed. There was no race to the courthouse, and the service process in the Northern District of Illinois does not take, or in the state court in Illinois, does not take 10 months. I'm confident of that. Now, in response to your question, Judge Williams, I think this is precisely the kind of discretionary remand that the Supreme Court talked about in Thermtron. In fact, what you had here is you had a judge below who simply didn't like the implications of removing the way we removed. And he said, yeah, I recognize that the statute says what it says, but I don't like it. And I concede that that's certainly an interesting point of view, but it's not dispositive and should not bar Mr. Peterson from his federal forum when he followed the rules and removed the case according to the rules. Finally, this is not a procedural defect under Section 1446. If I've scoured that rule and that statute which defines procedure, there was no procedural defect, and the court below didn't find any procedural defect in removal. Thank you, Your Honors.
Our thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.